Good morning. It's 10:13 a.m. on Saturday, March the 3rd, 2018. Beautiful morning, 54, somewhere in there. There's still a cold bite in the air, but whenever the sun shines on me, it's like having your hand in front of a broiler. It's really hot. But the day itself is pleasantly cool, and I'm in a windbreaker. Put my long johns on before I realized how warm it was out. I'm probably going to regret it before I get home. But what the hell. Good morning. So I wrote a lot yesterday. I did a lot of backfill. I went back through and I had to add some stuff to make the story hold together. Trying to bring it into alignment with all of the other stuff that I've done. There's a bit of a problem because I have written a lot and backed up, So I've got continuity issues in this book, where later on in the story I talk about things that happened before, but were deleted. And so don't happen before anymore. So I have to go through and find places where things were supposed to be and aren't, or fix the things that refer back to stuff that isn't. And so that's going to be a bit of a struggle, but the story is pulling me along. I spent, I don't know, maybe an hour this morning already. I'm late because I had to take the kid to work at 10. And I figured once I had my boots on for that, I would just come out and do the walk. So yeah, here I am, out for my walk. So I'm about halfway through Daughters of Anarchy, Season 1. And I think these are... I'm not sure, but they may be novellas put together in a single volume. Season 1, Season 2, Season 3. I'm enjoying the stories very much. I'm not getting very much chance to read because every time I have a free moment, I'm working on the story. The 40-sentence outline, which is basically the beat sheet for those who are familiar with that term. Rumor is we're going to get a copy of the Story Studio 40-sentence outline, which will be a generic outline that we need to apply our own stories to. So it's sort of like a plastic skeleton we can hang our own meat on. We'll see if it's of any use. I don't know. I think what really made the difference for me was not so much the 40-sentence outline as much as the free writing synopsis. So little character profiles, little snippets here and there, and then the story, along with a pretty substantial backstory, along with a pretty substantial setup that won't actually appear in the book, but which helps inform me about what's going on. The story is an iceberg, and the backstory is the part that's underwater. It's the part you don't see. But if it weren't there, If it wasn't there, that's not subjunctive. No, it is subjunctive, if it weren't there. Anyway, without the part that's underwater, you wouldn't see the part that's on the top because it wouldn't be able to float. So, the backstory is the part of the iceberg that's underwater. It's the part of the story you don't see, but which needs to be there in order for the story to stand above the waves. That's where we are. So it was really, because I had already done most of this sort of idea work long ago, getting it all down in one place so I could see it, getting it all down where I could say, oh, this is way too complex. I need to slim this story down a little bit. I need to pull some of these details out because actually they're not really significant. What a gorgeous day. I'm going to have to go get something I can grill. Because it's beautiful out. So the story, I'm down to the last, I think I'm at the next, well, no, I think I have two chapters after this one. I've got the final chapter, which will be the last big conflict. And then a denouement chapter at the end, where we tie things off. Sort of like the last chapter in Fire, which everybody complained about because they couldn't meet Bev. Not Bev, Brill. And her husband. Don't get me started. Don't go down that rabbit hole. It's a big house. There's a house here that has a huge grove of aspen trees around it. When I first saw it, I thought it might be a duplex because it's really, really big. But with the leaves all off a tree, all you see is, you can see the house now. No, it's not a duplex. It's a huge house. I have a little tiny house. I need to enjoy the shade because there's not going to be a lot of shade left once I get around the corner up here. Start down beside the monk pole. The monk post. So, yeah, the Smarter Artist Summit Facebook group is still percolating along with there is a lot of, when I first started this group and everybody was chiming in, like, oh, I'm so excited to go, weeks, months before the Smarter Artist Summit. Months. And I was, I was thinking, wow, this group comes across like, well, let's just say less than professional. It was. But the other side of it is, this is not actually, the problem was really with me, it wasn't with them. My perception of what this conference was going to be was colored in large part by my own misconceptions I think I get it now. I think I understand. Most of these people are not full-timers. Most of them are not. Most of them have one or two books, maybe. And I find myself, I wasn't sure that I would come away with anything useful. And yet I find myself thinking about Michelle Spiva's marketing presentation. The brilliant job she did with it. Not that I learned much about marketing, but I just admired her. Won't post, sit with me. I just admired the execution of it. It was spectacular. Facebook ads are not marketing. She was so funny. Facebook ads are not marketing. Facebook ads are not a strategy. And it was really good. She used Southwest Airlines as an example. The Southwest Airlines strategy is to be the lowest priced airfare in the country. That's their strategy. That's how they're going to make a mark. That's how they're going to fill their seats. They're going to be the lowest priced airfare in the country. Everything they do, everything they trim, everything they take, every action they take is to make sure that they are able to provide the lowest priced airfare in the country. So as a strategy, it's really quite compact. It's really rather simple. It's rather easy to measure. They can look at the other airfares in comparable cities. Are they the lowest? If the answer is no, then they have to do something else. If the answer is yes, then okay. But along the way, they also can't do things like Spirit Air does, which makes the actual travel experience so unpleasant that nobody ever wants to book with them again. And so, while that's not actually part of their main strategy, it's certainly got to be part of their sub-strategy, because there has to be a way for them to be the lowest price, even if they're not the champagne service group. What's the line that they have to walk? What's the path they need that lets them be the lowest price and still not alienate customers? So I think about my strategy, which is to basically rely on social media, to rely on 1,000 true fans, which is more like 5,000 true fans now. Thank you all. To allow me to write the kinds of stories I want to read but can't find. So part of that is that I have to read all the time, because I have to make sure that the stories I want to read, I can't find. I have to make sure that they're not already out there. I want to make sure I thank Chris Fox and all of the people at Sterling and Stone who are writing straight down the line according to trope, putting out more and more and more of exactly what is out there now, with the very real, very, I'm not belittling this, I'm not denigrating this, but with the real, very real value add of readers are hungry for another one of the thing they just had. They're like me and dim sum. Oh, yes, I'll have another. Yes, please. Or potato chips, God help me. Bag of chips, thanks a lot, I will. I'm not denigrating it. There's nothing wrong with it. It's going to make them rich. That's not my strategy. It's not my strategy. My strategy is to write the books I want to read but can't find. So there's a lot of things I have to do in order to do that strategy. One is, in terms of marketing, I have to make sure people know that this is not your granddaddy's science fiction. I have to make sure that they understand this is not the same old, same old. I have to make them understand that there are enough of the tropes in there to make it be what I claim it is without having them all exercised exactly the same way as everybody else is doing. I probably said it before, I'll have to probably say it again. I can't out Ringo John Ringo. I can't out Weber David Weber. There's no way I can out Bujold Lois McMaster Bujold. As much as it would tickle me to do so, there's no way I can. And the reality is, I really don't want to, because that's Lois McMaster Bujold. And I really want to be Nathan Lowell. I really want to be who I am and write the stories I write the way I write them, because that's my contribution. It's not to be the next Christopher Nuttall or the next Michael Anderle or the next anybody. But I just want to be the current Nathan Lowell. Well, so far it's working. So far it's working. As long as I don't get distracted by other things, the challenge of advertising. Like, do I really need to advertise? No, not really. Will advertising help make sales? Maybe it will help make sales. Lady walking along, holding a baby and a smartphone. I believe the person on the other end was speaking Chinese. Huh? Yes, sir. So I don't know. I'm not convinced that the advertising is effective. I know it's not efficient. I know that if I got a book bub, it will pay for itself because I have a long backlist. It will result in buy through in a way that will boost every book in the series. What I need to do is see if I can get a book bub on Ravenwood. Try to get some more traction with the fantasy. Because I really want to get back to writing some fantasy. I really want to get back into the land of Corlay. I want to get back into that universe. Yep, it's hot. Hard to believe. March 3rd. 57 degrees. I'm overdressed. Well, I'm back. I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.